This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
In completing our reading through the New Testament, my wife and I have been, in the last few days, reading in the book of Revelation. Yesterday, we came to chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Revelation. It talks about a great beast empire and a false prophet and so on that is going to somehow be able to set up a system, a financial system, an economic system, who knows what else will be involved with it, that is going to commandeer every human being on the planet. In other words, it will be totally inclusive. Everybody will be included, in fact, mandated. Because if you don't get involved in this particular system that is coming about, you will not be able to buy or sell. That's what the book of Revelation tells us in chapter 13. It's related to an infamous mark called the mark of the beast. In other words, it's a way of getting involved with and pledging your allegiance to a global empire, a global government that is going to be so powerful, so overarching, well, it will be a replacement, it seems, to God himself. Well, in that regard, it may just require a change in the way we do business, in the way that we pay for our goods or don't. And that's where the mark of the beast comes in, that no man may buy or sell except he who has the mark or the number of the name, which is 666, which I believe happens to stand for man's very best effort to become God. God 777, man 666. Well, today on Viewpoint, we have a fascinating conversation with a very unusual guest. His name is Christian. That is Christian Briggs. And he has been involved for a very, very long time as an economist. He's involved at many different levels, even with testifying before the government and so on. He is talking today with us concerning a very interesting subject. Have you ever heard the term CBDC? CBDC, it's not talking about marijuana. No, it's talking about money. Not marijuana, but money. What does it have to do with you? What does it have to do with me? And is there any reason why we should be listening to our special guest today on Viewpoint? He asked the question, has a cashless society already begun? What would you answer to that, my friend? Well, he's going to give us an answer to that, and we're going to unfold this issue before you as perhaps you have not heard it before. Christian Briggs joining us here from Nashville, Tennessee. Christian, it's good to have you on the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
These are, at best, or at least fascinating times, perhaps even frightening times, aren't they?
Well, they beg the question, can it get any scarier? When you look at all the things trending, this particular area that we're going to discuss today is probably one of the most frightening because it's being adopted from all over the world, and we've been doing digital currency, in a sense, for nearly 20 years. Anybody have a credit card?
Well, yeah. The one that I tried to use just the other day, they said, was declined, and I have no idea why. I wonder if CBDC would be declined if I didn't have the mark of the beast. What say you?
So it's an interesting perspective. Let me try to just give you a chronological understanding of where we got to this point.
Good.
And then where we're going to go. So it all started in 1913 with the Federal Reserve being organized as a private corporation to institute monetary policy. And if you take that policy and you fast forward all the way until 2016, when Trump did first term, the standard of which the Federal Reserve started was to either expand or tighten credit by the issuing of money or the retraction of money thereof. They are, and still to this day, which is losing part of its grip, the reckoning force of the United States government.
All right, that money you're talking about is sometimes called fiat currency, isn't it?
Yes, So fiat currency is basically paper currency.
It's in other words, it's not based by gold or silver because Richard Nixon took us off that standard.
Correct. August 15th of 1971. He eliminated it for his own personal gain.
Okay, so we're off the gold standard, and we're on, well, the good faith and credit of the United States, what's left of it. So where does
Correct.
That leave us in this history?
Well, basically, it's paper. I mean, unless that paper is very rare, very expensively valued, in some cases, I guess it is. If it's a $100 bill versus a $1 bill, it's the same piece of paper, but it just has a couple of different numbers on it.
Mm-hmm.
We are now losing the war of privacy, control, surveillance, containment, and at the end of the day, anonymity. And the reason is because the world continues to go farther left each year. It doesn't go right. It goes farther left. We try to slow it down as people of faith. So now you fast forward the introduction of credit cards in the 60s with American Express, MasterCard, and Visa, which gained wide popularity in the 80s and 90s for convenience. And then it was really gaining a lot of momentum with, and you have the rewards status or things of which that people can gain something for nothing. Like, I'm going to spend the money anyway. I might as well use a credit card that gives me something back.
Uh-huh.
That conditioned us to stop using cash in a fairly lengthy way. It wasn't like overnight, but it took time. But it gradually became adopted. It became consumed, which means it's every day, or it's certainly looked upon as every day way of which to transact. And now where we are today, and that is 2016, around the world, unbeknownst to Trump in his first term, the Federal Reserve was usurping Congress, going around the president's authority and Congress authority to issue new money. And they were building and had built a central bank digital currency platform with a company called Ripple. And they were going to launch it in spite of the fact that they didn't have the authorization from Congress. They felt they did. They argued it. They were still going to move forward. And it's a full-blown centralized system of payment, which means centralized means that you centralize the power to a handful of people that control the masses. As an old saying is, centralizing the power, centralizing the federal government over the states is what so many Democratic administrations have tried to do for years, and Biden and perfected it. Trump's dismantling it. But what's happening is now is we're moving by no means is this stoppable. It's not.
All right. So the whole world is moving this way, and you say the whole world is moving left. What do you mean by moving left?
Well, policy, right? So anytime you have socialism, communism, it is the intensity of communism meets atheism meets secular government. And what's happening around the world is if you look at it, it's less and less Christianity. More Muslim, if you really want to get to it, which is in itself.
All right.
So this is
exactly what New York is facing in its mayoral election, is the on the ground revelation, manifestation of this kind of choice. Will New York move even further that direction? And if New York is the centralization of world economy, wow, that puts this in real perspective. The Cashless Society, today on Viewpoint. We'll be back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Today we have a fascinating conversation with Christian Briggs. He says, brace yourself for the biggest monetary shift in modern history. As BRICS nations, China, and the EU prepare to launch their central bank digital currencies called CBDCs, watch out. From digital surveillance, biometric tracking, and programmable money to China's plan to dethrone the dollar through tokenized trade systems, he says this is not a theory. It's already happening. A war on American financial sovereignty has already begun, and the question is, what does it mean for you, and what does it mean for me? Christian Briggs joining us. Christian, I'd like you to just give us a quick synopsis of what you've been about for the past, say, 40 years or so on, the trajectory of your career, why it is that you have such fascination with this particular subject.
Well, the fascination came from a realization that every part of the Bible is actually true. Contrary to popular belief, there are still people out there, Christians, that think they can rewrite the outcome.
Uh-huh.
And they'd rather believe not that things of which can happen are happening in real time. It's easier, just like they said, is to believe a cold lie than the warm truth, you know. And that, because you when you start to think about the things of which that are happening in real time, right now, it makes people kind of wonder, can all this be happening? It's kind of surreal.
Well, so especially when you consider the words of Peter in his epistle, when he says, some people are mocking, they're saying, where's the sign of his coming and at the end of the age that you've been talking about for these 2,000 mm-hmm. years? And he responds by saying, you know, God is not slack concerning his promise, but he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet there is a point where you come to the end of the road. It appears that what you're talking about here is the trajectory that Scripture foretells that is right at the end of the road.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, in order for Revelations to be fulfilled in any way, you have to have a complete digital world. The mark of the beast cannot exist in just a portion of the world. It has to exist in every part of it, because you can always escape portions to get to other areas. And we are actually seeing in real time, for the first time, the understanding, because we're all connected. There are three things in the Bible that are very clear. When the four corners of the world will be connected, I will return. Call Elon Musk, ask him about Starlink. It's going to connect the entire world by the end of next year. There's no place in the world you can't link up. Mm. Two, digital currency. Your phone has a unique serial number. They're already embedding chips in Europe in people, including over 30,000 people have been embedded a complete personalized chip for buying and selling in Sweden and other Scandinavian countries. If your listeners will look up, Apple is testing implantable brain chips to do away with iPhones, iPads, and any type of communications. It's going to be for buying and selling and communicating. So they're already starting it. They're actually working with Neuralink, which is an Elon Musk company, for brain implanted chips to help various medical conditions. But it just happens you can actually use it for receiving phone calls, computerization, as well as buying and selling. So the understanding that the entire Bible is true is now very easy to identify with. Revelations cannot be fulfilled unless there was a couple things that Trump did. Recognizing in his Trump one, we call it his first term, Jerusalem as the true capital, moving the consulate, the embassy of the United States back to Jerusalem.
Right.
That was prophesied centuries ago, thousands of years ago. And now the digitalization with the Genius Act that he pushed through, which is the digitalizing of our entire monetary system to do away with cash, to do away with the Federal Reserve. And now you're going to have corporations, which is kind of interesting because they buy and sell products, as the new Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve will go away in a few years. No more paper currency. We're going to have corporations that can issue stable coins, which is basically just another word for a central bank digital currency. And the next thing you know, here's what's going to happen. You want to bow down? You want to plant that chip? Great. You can buy and sell. You can live. You don't? Well, then good luck. Digital ID, it's already at all the airports in America. It's all over Europe. Go look at last week. The European Union approved moving forward at pace speed with the central bank digital currency for over 48 countries across Europe. China's already launched theirs through China and Southeast Asia. And most of their provinces do not accept cash unless you're a taxi driver. They're all digital currency.
Unbelievable.
Digital yuan.
You know what shocks me? It shocks me that the very first countries to actually implement these CBDCs are the third world countries. In other words, anybody that thinks, well, it's just going to be the major countries, no, it's going to be everywhere.
True. It's a good point that you make on that. Let's talk about that, countries who have launched these. You have some of the most, I don't want to say less sophisticated countries, but obviously their industries are nowhere near what China, the U.S., or other parts of the world, actually in Europe, are. Africa has launched it. The Caribbean has launched some. Mexico is looking at doing it. But what's interesting is when you look at some of the most undeveloped countries that went initially first, now you're looking at the most developed countries.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, there's been this flight to who can be first. There was an interesting press release a number of years ago by the Federal Reserve that nobody caught. And as I was poking around the Federal Reserve's website, getting a whole bunch of under the, you know, they have to provide different records and different things of which as public policy, I looked at a document that did a couple things, explained two things that were very disturbing. One, back in April of 22, they were actually looking at the difference between paper dollar and a digital dollar, and they were realizing at some point that as the digital currency was to be issued, it would devalue the paper dollar, almost kind of like retiring an old car, an old truck.
Right.
You get a brand new one, far superior. The old one goes away in a field, who knows, by the wherever, or goes to the junkyard. That's what they were looking at. And they were determining that the, as is today, and it's being talked about all the time, how much devaluation will occur in the paper currency or dollar-based assets as we transition to digital. Well, I can tell you one thing. Gold, I'm not here to sell gold, but gold is the barometer, and it is the forewarned asset to a catastrophic event, and that is the dollar is going to be worth zero as we continue to convert to digital. That's why gold's going up so much. So whether you want to believe the Bible, okay, you don't want to. Maybe you're not a Christian. That's okay. But gold has never surged like this. And the world has made gold now the world's reserve currency.
Well, actually, silver has surged almost more than gold right now, almost up to $50 an ounce. And gold fell back just a little bit. But you can't go by the itsy-bitsy increases and decreases. It's the trend, right?
Right. You make a good point. Silver has actually outperformed gold this year. I love silver. I think silver is a winner. Personally, I'm just going to give up. It's undervalued. Whether you have gold, silver, or a combination of both, it's a winner. Like, there's no question. It is either one or both are showing clearly that the dollar is in a permanent decline. There's no question.
All right, let me ask you a question, a very poignant question, practical.
Sure. All right.
Let's suppose that that's true. Let's suppose that everything goes completely digital and the U.S. dollar, the paper money, the fiat money, no longer is really in existence for a practical circumstance, even though it says they're supposed to go alongside one another. So that being the case, you're saying at least gold holds up its substance, its hard asset. All right. If you're all digital and nobody will buy and sell save who has the mark or the number of the beast and this digital system, then what are you going to do with your gold? How practical is that? Who's going to be able to receive it? Who's going to be able to pay for it? And if they do try to pay for it, now what are you going to do because you just received digital money?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. That's a great question.
Well, thank you.
Guess what?
I'm a budding economist.
You are. But it's a practical question. It's a legitimate question.
Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about that. As little kids, you show a bar of gold to a five-year-old, you do not have to tell them that has great value. It's intrinsically inherited in us because it's God's money. 93 times in the Bible, God refers to gold as his people's money. Think about this. 5,000 years ago, the pyramids are being built. The pharaohs held at the highest level. No one told them that. They didn't have to be educated. So think about this. Remember, the streets of heaven are lined with gold. It's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because it's God telling us, listen, in the end days, gold will be the only form of wealth. And it's true. So next thing you know, what's happening? Why is the world buying gold all of a sudden? Because they know. It's in our DNA. And so when you ask the question, what's going to happen with gold? I can assure you, if anybody's listening, if you have a phone and you had a bar of gold, 1 ounce of gold, say an ounce of gold, super simple, you could find within a reasonable proximity, within a reasonable 99.9% of the price, a buyer of that bar, gold bar. No question. It always has value. So if it currently it's just at a hair under $4,000, let's say it's at $4,000, and you needed $4,000, and you're willing to sell it for $3,900, you need fast cash. You can go get $3,900. And had you had that bar of gold for 4 years, you've tripled your money. How's that working out for you compared to
okay,
cash?
Okay, but how are you going to use that bar of gold now to transact business if everything is digital?
Well, you don't need digital. You can use the gold. You're, listen to this statistic. You're going to be blown away on this one. In 2010, the amount of gold, silver too, I wanted to make sure I included it because it's part of the statistics are actually included silver. Not by much, but it is part of it. In 2010, in South America, a lot of the currencies collapsed because once we collapsed in 08, 9, and 10, mm-hmm. we had the big housing crash, we had right. the stock market crash. Well, the South American countries crashed too because they're very dependent upon our resources, whether we're buying or selling or a lot of them trading our currency. The dollar got whacked. Well, their currencies got hammered pretty hard. So all of a sudden, people said, why am I using this paper currency when inflation is 50, 100, 200%? Like in Venezuela, it was 10,000% a year in 2010. Crazy, mm-hmm. crazy. Well, guess what? Today, because of that, 40% of all general commerce, you know, people among people in the local cities, communities, what have you, not the federal level, but the local community, gold now is used in 40% of every transaction. You don't need paper anymore. You don't need digital. Think about that just for 1 second, okay? Think about that for a second. If a bar of gold's worth $4,000, you get $4,000 worth of food, or you use it toward a car purchase, or use it for a house purchase, whatever it is. If it's worth $3,500, it's worth $3,500. $5,000, it's $5,000. And you look at the Indian countries, okay, like in India, Bangladesh, Malaysia, Indonesia, they've been buying gold for literally thousands of years, wearing it, but it's also their savings account. And if you go back to 1971, when we were off the gold standard, and then by 1976, we were actually able to own gold again for Gerald Ford sold, did that for us.
Uh-huh.
And guess what? Gold has been averaging 14 to 15% annualized return, and silver is closer to 17%. That's not bad for something you never have to worry about.
All right. So what if a government, uh-huh. including not just the U.S., but uh-huh. the world government comes in and says gold is outlawed. Turn it all in, turn it into digital currency, or you'll never be able to use it. What do you say?
Well, I got good news and bad news for that crazy person who would say this. Because you know what? It's not going to happen. They can say it. They're not going to get it. That precious metals, whether it's gold, silver, platinum, which is up 50% this year, there's no way of $30 trillion in gold, $5 trillion in silver, I don't know how much platinum's out there, but I know it's at least $1 trillion, is ever going to get turned into all of it by anybody. They'll use it as a black market. They do it now. They do it all over the world. If you have a kilo of gold, which is 32.15 ounces, which is, you know, approximately, let's say, $150,000, let's say, just rounding it up.
Uh-huh.
You can use that bar of gold to buy $150,000. Anybody in the world will take it, no matter what. Whether it's illegal or legal, that gold represents three things which are so dear to our heart. Remember, God gives you all your rights, man takes them away. So here are the three things that gold gives you back, because gold gives you back some things. Okay? Anonymity, surveillance is not a part of the equation, privacy, and sleeping at night like a baby.
Okay, we'll be back with this. After this, don't go to sleep on us, friends. We have much more to talk about. Our special guest today, Christian Briggs, economist, talking about the real world.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
countries are exploring CBDCs and confirming the global shift toward a central bank-issued digital money. 81 central banks are engaged in CBDC exploration. 98% of global GDP is now covered by CBDC exploration. 19 of the G20 countries are exploring CBDCs, and 16 are already developed or pilot, underscoring strategic adoption among leading economies. Wow. So, all of this is taking place as we speak in 2025. Governments are not just exploring the potential of digital currencies, they're competing to shape the future of money itself. So, we're trying here today with our special guest, Christian Briggs, an economist, to understand this, the nature, the difference between digital money and the so-called CBDC, central bank digital currencies, and what is called fiat currency or paper money. If he mentioned something about South America and talked about how a number of years ago, the economies of many countries there in South America began to collapse. Their economies began to collapse because their money was no longer worth anything. Guess what happened as a result? Some of those countries were filled with Jewish citizens. Guess what they did? They fled back to Israel. As the economies were collapsing, it put such pressure on the Jewish people to fulfill biblical prophecy saying God was going to fulfill his covenant and bring them back by whatever means it would take. Even sending out fishers and hunters and so on, how about collapsing currencies? Well, all of that is taking place. You see, there are practical ramifications, real, historic, and prophetic ramifications to what we're talking about. And prophetic is right on the edge of our tongues right now, isn't it, Christian?
Big time.
Yeah.
What we're seeing for the first time in history is we're seeing governments around the world putting together what really is going to be the viable way of which to transact, controlled by a very small people, or and I say small people being a small amount of people called centralization or centralizing the power, mm-hmm. to run the masses entirely through money, transportation, healthcare, and energy. That's what we're getting down to.
Well, that's part of what the World Economic Forum was talking about when discussing a few years ago the Great Reset, which they say is to take place by 2030.
Correct. And they're not going to stop. And they're going to keep going, and they're going to keep going, and they're going to keep going until ultimately all the four corners of the world are connected, both from a connectivity to a monetary, transportation, all the different things needed. And there's only three major things that you can do. Actually, one can control people completely, their money. If you can digitize everything, and I mean everything that's under the sun that's related to anybody's wallet, which that's what they're doing, because remember, here in the United States, when they did the Genius Act, that's a third-party custody, which means you no longer have control over your assets in the same way in which you did with self-custody, which is currently what we have. They gave that right away to corporations who then will issue the digital dollar, the stablecoin, and from that point, in any time future for there forever, what's going to happen is now you'll be behooven to whatever the policies are that are made by the corporations regarding any kind of transaction. And if they don't like you, they can just turn it off.
All right, so where does the Trump administration stand with regard to this new central bank digital currency, CBDC, progress?
Well, I mean, they were very aggressive on it, and they pushed it through. There was many changes to it to appease the Democrats, because there were several Republican senators, as well as House members, that would not vote for it. A lot of Republicans would not vote for it, because it may sound good in the beginning, but if you get the wrong administration who has nefarious or bad intentions, I'll give you an example. You get an Obama, a Bernie Sanders, or God forbid, an Ocasio, AOC type administration, the levers they can pull is scary. It includes the absolute reprogramming of the ability to even transact. They could systematically limit you to where you want to spend the money because your faith, because they don't like the products you're buying. They could do anything they want. The system is built. The Genius Act has launched. And I'm not a big fan of Senator Elizabeth Warren by any means, but she does make some good points. And, you know, I wrote a paper that looked at the seriousness of the Genius Act and said there are some holes in it, that you need to be thinking about this in a better way than just trying to ram this thing through as a short-term solution to trying to stabilize the dollar. And one of the issues was, and treasuries for that matter, because our debt was having some issues. But the problem is, just like when we initiated tax 1913, we come out with a 3% tax rate. Nobody in government went up against any other story except for one thing. It'll never be more than 3%. Never. Tax rates will never be more than 3%. Uh-huh. Are you crazy? Look where we are today.
Exactly.
Look where we are today. And think about this for a second. How many times with Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, did we get told it's going to cut your medical costs in half, it's going to have coverage for everybody, you can keep your doctor, it's going to increase and improve health care across the board? None of that was true.
Yeah.
It was a lie, because all Obama wanted was socialized control. Medicine for control. He's a communist, and he hates this country, and he was the one that began this whole tour on how do I get control of the people and the wealth. So he did it through healthcare, and he did it by initiating some programs to get us into digital currency.
All right. So it seems that this is, shall we say, virtually inevitable, and it happens. What you're describing is what is called incrementalism. It doesn't happen immediately, because that would completely turn all the people off, and they would rise up in rebellion. So it has to happen incrementally. And it has to happen by promoting the good parts that people can anticipate if they will go along with the program. The problem is that those good parts will very quickly be replaced by parts that aren't so good, until pretty much everything has been eroded and the real purpose takes place.
That was very well said.
Well, thank you.
That's what it is.
I'm going to apply for a master's in economics then.
Well, I mean, it was very easy to identify what you're saying. A lot of people try to talk so deep or so high up that it's like, okay, you kind of missed the meaning. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is this. We have to go far left. We have to have this happen. If the Bible is to be understood and to be believed, these things have to happen.
Does that mean you and I should jump up and down and clap our hands and be supportive?
I don't know about jumping up and down like a cheerleader for this nonsense. This is communism by no other stretch of the imagination. But I will say that we have to rejoice God's will is being fulfilled.
Because our redemption is drawing nigh.
Correct. Exactly. That's exactly right. And that is what I'm trying to tell people, and that is this. If at some point, and it'll happen sooner than later, we're all going to be running around with digital currency. The cash is, I mean, how many people carry cash anymore? I mean, it's almost non-existent. And so because we prefer standards of things, like take your car, for example. Who can go back to a stick shift with little or no electronics in it, like from the 70s or the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
People have grown accustomed to these things. They've adopted it. They're consuming it every day.
But if somebody and would so give me back my 1966 Mustang, I would take it.
Well, it's funny you said that because those kind of cars are hot again because why? You can work on them. They don't have 400. You know a Mercedes has 400 computer chips in it?
Oh, my.
Yeah, wow. That's why chips are going up in value or there's certainly demand. So my point is, I go back to the same logical sense here that I would do with anybody. In order for things to be fulfilled, they must happen. These are things that are happening in real time that are absolutely positively revealing, and it could be 20 years, 30 years, probably not, because the rate of acceleration for the adoption of this global phenomenon of digital currency, period, it's unprecedented. Like, you hear about it every day.
Right.
And if you look around the world, everybody is starting to aggressively embrace it. And I heard people from the most conservative, oh, this is going to be great. You're going to never lose your money. I'm like, yeah, you can lose your money. All you do is make somebody upset with you who's in a position to turn your money off. Then you'll lose it.
All right. So, which brings me to another point. In 2020, March of 2020, Bill Gates, through Microsoft, applied for a patent with the U.S. Patent Office. And I don't remember exactly what he called it. I have all the documentation of that patent filing in my files. And some people refer to it as the 666 patent because within the number of designation were the digits 666. And everybody went, oh, this is the mark of the beast for sure. But here's the deal. My understanding is that the purpose of that patent was to synthesize in one single chip, or whatever you want to call it, digitized medicine, medical care, and the entire transactional economy that you would be involved in the world, so that every single person on the planet would have their medical condition and care, plus all of their financial synthesized together in that one article that would be controlled and go through an international, that is a world government system. So, as what you just said, if they don't like how you spent your money or didn't spend it, they could cut off your ability to have access to it or even to have access to medical care. It was nothing short of shocking what Bill Gates was promoting.
Yeah, what he wants is a one world order, one government to control all things. That's why he's been so desperate to try to get vaccines out there that kill people. Like, he was, you know, he basically can't even get to India
anymore.
All right,
pick up on that after this break, okay?
Okay.
The vaccine connection. We'll be right back, friends. Our special guest, Christian Briggs, talking with us. There are no... nothing is attached to this. Neither he or I are trying to make money or promote anything else. We're trying to communicate truth for these times. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Does the entire vaccine hoopla of the past 4 or 5 years connect in any way with central bank digital currency and the spirit behind it. The ultimate goals. That's where we ended up before the break. Our special guest, the economist, Christian Briggs. I'm glad you're a Christian, my brother, because it takes a Christian to really talk honestly about this subject, I think. So how do these things connect, if at all?
So the way things are going down is Bitcoin was kind of the Pandora's box that got everybody to think in such a way that would then give them, or certainly give the impression that this was the way of the future, and that something of so simplicity of just pushing a button like Venmo or Cash App or any other means to be able to transfer from we call it peer-to-peer, from A to B, you're transferring value.
Okay.
People say, oh, I'm going to transfer you $10. It's not really $10. It's 10 individual, unique, serialized tokens. Each token represents the equivalent of a dollar. It's an algorithm if you really want to get down to it.
Well, how is that any different than fiat currency?
Well, fiat currency is at least a physical presence. I mean, the dollar is a fiat currency,
right.
But at least you got
this
something
other is just
in your
a number.
Hand. Well, yeah, but here's the problem. Every time you and I make a phone call, send a text, receive an email, or send money, there's a permanent record for it, good, bad, or indifferent. It doesn't matter, okay?
Right.
So when you take a look at cash, it's still private. You know, there's an old saying, tell a friend and the secret's out. But who's your best friend who can keep the secret forever? Cash.
Cash. So that's why people secrets. Would put it under their mattress.
They would put it wherever they need to make sure you didn't know where it was. And if you did, you didn't know how much it was worth. In other words, how much they had and whatever they transacted on it. And that was the rule of the law. I mean, that was the day, right? That was the law. The cash was king. That was the currency. Gold, silver were coinage that were used to also support the economy. And what's interesting is how now we look upon as cash as evil. People are like, oh, you don't want to use cash. Bad people, or it's money laundering, or it's cartels. No, they're using that as propaganda to get you to do what? Use digital so they can surveil you, and then you get used to it, and then they control it. Then it becomes the law of the land and the only thing you can actually transact in, except for gold or silver or things of value, you know, things of value, like hard
so
assets.
So will credit cards go out the window then?
Yes, they already are going out the window.
All right, I sense that. So you hear people talk about something called Venmo. What is that anyway?
It's just an app that you can download on your phone, and then you can send people money. It comes directly from your bank account.
Oh, it's digital money.
You better believe it.
Oh, so you're already participating in the global digitization of money.
Let's talk about how many people are transacting in this thing. You ready?
Yes.
In 2020, we had about 15% of all transactions were digital. Now, by end of 2020, that skyrocketed because people were locked in their homes. So it was about 25%. Last year, nearly 70% of all transactions, and actually may have been more than 70, but my numbers are about 68, 69. I'm sure there were a few that I missed because I know that I rarely see cash. So I think my numbers should have been higher, closer to 75% of the U.S., Europe, mostly the developed countries, saw cash very little, maybe 20 to 25% of the time. The rest was pure digital. We think that somewhere up there, somewhere around 70, 75% is digital transactions. But I can tell you this, by 2030, cash is gone. I think by 29, Europe, U.S., will, if they haven't completely, will be right near, very close, and pretty much eliminating cash as we know it from any public transaction. Privately, it may still be used in rare incidents, but I think what they'll do is instead of cash, somebody would say, oh, I'd rather just have a gold bar. If you want to do physical, I don't want cash, because either the governments are going to outlaw it altogether, which they're trying. They're using various ways, like to limit the amount you take out an ATM machine,
right,
the amount that you can use for purchases in Europe and UK.
Or to record that which you deposit in the bank if it exceeds $5,000.
Let me tell you something about Great Britain. If you have 1,000 pounds, which is about $1,300, probably almost $1,400 U.S., you use more than 1,000 pounds on any transaction without pre-approval, your first offense, you're in big trouble. Your second offense, you're never seen again. They make this thing sound like you just did a mass murder because they are putting penalties on cash transactions over a certain amount because they don't want anybody messing with cash anymore because they can't track it. They can't control it. They can't see that 99% of people, by normal standards, 99% of transactions are legitimate. They're done in private if they so choose it because they have that right with cash. And like 1% of the cash that's out there is used for nefarious schemes by bad actors or people that otherwise would be just not the kind of people you want to associate with. So it's very small. But why do they make such a small amount of people in a big picture of trillions of dollars? Trillions goes through Europe, the UK. And what's interesting is because they need to. In order to justify the complete takeover of all the wealth, to transform us into a begging system, begging for use of our money, you got to get it all. You have anything out there, then they can black market you and use that in the black market for buying and selling goods and services, what have you. Much like gold is already, if gold's been that way for 5,000 years, you'll never get rid of gold out of society. People will give up everything except for their guns and gold. That's the two things that keep them going.
So guns fall largely in the same kind of capacity, especially for a lot of people. So that's why the Second Amendment is so important. Whether or not you have any guns is not the issue. The issue is why that was protected by the Second Amendment. Okay, now we're talking about something here that for many people would strike fear into their hearts. But that's not the reason why you and I are talking about it. We're talking about information here. This is information. It's tremendous information. The question is, how should this information translate into practical, true faith response by we, the people who profess the name of Christ? In other words, is there a way that this information actually is being presented for transformation in preparation for the coming of the Lord and our preparation of our families?
Yeah, people want to kind of see this transformation. I did a documentary on it, and they're more than welcome to watch it on YouTube.
Okay.
They can just go to my podcast show, The Hard Asset Money Show. Hard Asset Money Show.
Oh, okay.
And if you look at the last five or six or seven shows in chronological order, you'll see where I talk about the Genius Act. And then a year or two ago, I was talking about CBDC almost every week because it was growing so quickly. And so if anybody really wants to know the truth, which a lot of people don't, they really don't want to know how bad it can get because it could alter the way their consciousness is about their daily life, about
right.
How they go about it. But let me tell you something. I'll say this before. I've said it before. I'll say it again 100 times. I'd rather know it's a train with that light than assume it's the light at the end of the tunnel. So I can, if it's a train, I can get out of the way.
Because, okay, so I agree with that. So how do we get out of the way? Does everybody, is this a prescription for everybody to run out and invest in gold and silver? Or is there another way that we should be thinking about this? Like, where is our trust anyway?
Good question.
Thank you.
Look, gold and silver, precious metals, platinum, palladium, rhodium, which are platinum group metals, are all very, very attractive at these levels. Even though gold's at nearly 4,000, knowing what I know in the next 5 or 10 years where it's going, it's still a very undervalued asset. Silver is probably the most undervalued. I think it represents some incredible opportunities. When it gets to $200 an ounce, you'll probably see more people buy it at $200 than they will at $50. Go figure that one. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So I would tell people to get into the silver and gold now. Platinum.
Well, it's easier for the average person to get into silver than gold.
It can be, yeah. But if you're a heavy hitter and you want to buy $1 million worth of silver, it's, you know, think about this. Every 1,000 ounces or about 50 grand is 83 pounds. So if you're buying $500,000 worth of silver, it's 850 pounds roughly. But that's okay. It still represents a good value. I've said this before. There are several types of things in which to insure in your life. Healthcare, car, children, healthcare in general for the whole family, your company, boat insurance, what have you. All these different insurance policies in different categories. As a whole, in America, the average family spends, you'll love this, about 13 days a year to plan a 7-day family vacation. Okay, check that out. Where are we going to go? Here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
The average family spends less than 13 minutes to plan out their long-term wealth strategy. That's it, 13 minutes.
Okay, but if you know that when Jesus comes, you're not going to, you know, when you're raptured, whatever that happens to be, you're not going to have a trailer hooked up to your derriere to drag your gold and silver up into the heavenly gates. So what should Christians do other than put money in physical security here, financial security? What are the implications for us as Christians, faith-wise?
Well, I've said this before. You may not know the day or the hour of the forthcoming, whether it's you going or Jesus coming.
Right.
But until that day happens, you still need to protect your wealth. There's a little passage I love in the Bible. It's a nice one. With little, I'll give you the chance to grow that wealth. We have to be good stewards of what we're given,
right.
Okay? So you can't just be willy-nilly relying on the fact that, oh, I can't take it with me. Well, is it 5 years from now? 100 years from now? When do you think you're going to go? When do you think he's going to come?
Okay.
Until then, you've got to be good stewards of what's been given, and you've got to multiply that.
All right. You've got
to grow that wealth.
Okay.
That's my response.
We grow the wealth for purposes of... shall we say, being wise in conducting business here, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, keeping the priorities, the number one things right at the top. And because if all we do is try to grow our wealth, then we miss Jesus' point. He said, look, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things are going to be added to you. Not to mention that we shouldn't do the things that are necessary to secure, as best we can, the economic substance of how we live here on this planet, because we still are on this planet, aren't we?
Yes, correct.
Some of us are.
some of us are, yeah, whatever that percentage is.
Yeah, right.
But you still got to be good stewards. You can't just assume that somebody else is going to take care of it, or somebody else have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You have to be proactive. The most successful people I've ever met are people that are proactive, that know that results are going through the account. And what the results we're talking about right now, today, okay, is that you have to have wealth protection. Those are the results. At the end of the day, wealth creation is one thing, but wealth preservation is far greater, because what you've got, you want to keep. What you want to keep, you got to grow. But first, you got to keep it.
All right.
That's the key.
All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here, Christian. I really appreciate the time and effort that you have given forth here. And your YouTube program is Hard Asset Money. Is that it?
Hard Asset Money Show.
Hard Asset Money Show on YouTube. All right. Well, great.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I feel like we've made a kingdom connection here, and I'm going to have further conversation with you, I'm sure. God bless you, my friend, and thank you, my friends, for joining us. You might want to consider getting a copy of my book, Antichrist. How to Identify the Coming Imposter. It'll talk about some of these things right there on that book. $20, we'll put that $22 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Go to get there, call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, write to us at $6 for postage and handling. And let's prepare our minds, let's prepare our hearts, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
You've been
listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.